Go to the gospel according to Luke, Luke chapter 18. And I thank the Lord for this church. It's one of these places where I come and I feel at home. You know, you all are very similar to our church back in Ohio. I grew up in Knoxville, Tennessee, where I was born and raised. And the Lord led, of course, me to go to college there, and met my wife. We got married. And then we moved to the Midwest, to Peoria, Illinois, where we spent 12 years. I was an assistant and a youth pastor. And then after 12 years, God took us to Ohio, to the land of the Buckeyes. All right. And so we are thankful to serve the Lord there. And I am thankful to be here this week. And I know that you have busy schedules, and I'm so grateful that you're here this morning. Today, as we come to this special service, it's a time in which let us let God do His perfect work in our heart. Today, I want to preach on this subject, be merciful to me. We talk about the mercy of God. By the way, I'm remembering a story of years gone by. This was before the days of cell phones and before the days of the nice camera phones and cameras that we have today. I mean, this was years ago. And the story is told about a lady who went to a photographer to have her picture taken. She was very apprehensive about the picture. She wanted her best side of her face facing the camera and wanted everything just right. In fact, she said to the photographer, she said, "Now, sir, do me justice." And the photographer took a look at her face and he said, "Ma'am, pardon me for saying this, but you don't need justice. You need mercy." All right. Well, I think all of us today can say that we need the mercy of our God. What is God's mercy? God's mercy is the ideal that God does not give to us what we rightly deserve. I'm thankful today that I know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, but I deserve to spend eternity in a place called hell forever, separated from God. I deserve that because I am a sinner. I deserve that because I have sinned against a holy God. I was born into this world a sinner, but I'm thankful at the age of 17, God had mercy on me and He saved my soul. Now, God's mercy is available for all of us. But some choose to accept the mercy of God and some choose to reject His mercy. Today we're going to look at a story in the Bible that I think is a fitting story. And in the story, we're going to see two different men. Now on the surface, one of these men, who the Bible refers to as a Pharisee, we would think this is quite a man. I mean, all of his good works and all of his good deeds. The other man is a despised man. He's known as the publican. But on that day when these two men went to a place of worship, the Bible calls it the temple, they went to pray. Both men came. Both men had the mercy of God available for them. But only one man left the temple justified in receiving God's mercy. Today, you are either going to be like one of these two men. And I pray that you will say, as the publican said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Let's read our passage together. Luke chapter 18, and let's begin in verse number 9. Luke chapter 18 and verse number 9. "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself." Here's his prayer. Would you listen to it? "God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess." Boy, I'll tell you, on the surface, we would almost think, what a man. All the deeds, all the religious activity. But then the Bible brings our attention to the publican. And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man, speaking of the publican, went down to his house justified, rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Today, be merciful to me. I wonder this morning, are you like the publican? And before God, have you said, or have you put your faith and trust in Jesus to the extent that you have acknowledged, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner"? I can put my name there. God, be merciful to Aaron Samples, a sinner. Or are you like the Pharisee that says, "Lord, I thank Thee that I am not as this other man"? Today we see this great story, and it has so much meaning for us today. Number one, I want you to notice the reason for this story. Why did Jesus Christ give this story? There is a purpose behind it. Now, the Bible says that this was a parable. A parable was a earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It was a story that Christ gave that had great impact and had great application to their lives. Well, the Bible tells us the reason for this story is found in verse number 9. And he says, "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised." So, by the way, those things go hand in hand. When we believe we are righteous in our own eyes, we often despise others. And the emphasis here is that Christ is saying, I want to speak this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous. So the very reason for this story is that Christ wanted to show those that trusted in themselves that they were mistaken. You know, so we live in a world today filled with the Pharisee attitude here. The Pharisee attitude was the ideal that I am a good person. And by the way, I know of people that have this attitude that are good, moral people. They try to obey the law. They try to pay their debts. They try to take care of their family. And it's quite an admiration that they live that kind of lifestyle. I've witnessed to people before and they have said things, "Well, pastor or preacher, I try to be a good person." And they mean it. And they said, "Pastor, I'm faithful to my wife, and I take care of my children, and I'm a good citizen." And that is wonderful. And what a statement to be able to say. But the emphasis here about the Pharisee is that he trusts in himself, his works, his deeds, what he can do. And he believes that that is enough for him to go to heaven. In fact, let's look at this Pharisee. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. All of us would have to almost say, "Wow, I don't even do all these things." Notice what the Bible says, what he talks about. Verse 11, he stood and prayed with himself. He said, "God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican." And then notice what he said in verse 12. "I fast twice in the week." That's quite a statement. He's fasting. He says, "I give tithes of all that I possess." That's pretty commendable. And the Bible here, here is a man that is doing much. He is doing good deeds. He is the Pharisee. I meet people all the time that are good people. They are moral people. They might even say, "Pastor, I've gone to church before, and I have been baptized before, and I'm trying to live a good life, and I believe that that is good enough for me to go to heaven one day." But the very reason for this story is Christ is speaking to those that trust in themselves. May I tell you today that you will either trust in yourself and die and spend eternity in hell, or you must trust in the Lord Jesus Christ in order to go to heaven. Jesus said in John chapter 14, He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus acknowledged that we do not get to heaven by our good deeds, by our moral actions, by our living a conscious life in this world. This man trusted in himself. Now here's the ideal. This man went to the temple, a sinner, although he trusted in himself, and he left the temple a sinner. The publican came to the temple, and yes, he was a despised, wretched man, but because that he did not trust in himself, because he knew that there was no good works within him, there was no righteousness within him, he came to the temple a sinner, but he left justified in the eyes of God. And today, I want you to know something. You will either leave this building today justified in the eyes of God, or you will leave this building a sinner, righteous in your own eyes, but on your way to a place called hell. You say, "Pastor, but wait a minute, is there not a loving God?" Yes, there is a loving God. And that God offers His mercy to each and every one of us today. I've had people say to me before, "Pastor, I've done too many bad things. The mercy of God has to be the mercy of God is exhausted for me." I want you to know something, that His mercy endureth forever. And God does not have mercy. He is mercy. And if this morning, if you come as the publican with a childlike faith and with a humble heart, and you say with your heart to God, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner," you will leave this building justified in the eyes of God. Now notice, we've looked at the Pharisee. I mean, he was religious. This Pharisee practiced the law. He lived a certain way. And by the way, he wanted everyone to know it. Notice that he's standing and he is praying. He is proud of his deeds and his accomplishments. But let's look at the publican. Now, by the way, what is a publican? Now, the Pharisee was a religious leader of that day. A Pharisee did good deeds. They were instructed in the law and they were known in society. But the publican was quite different. Now, both of these men were Jews, but the publican was a despised Jew. You see, during this time in which Christ is speaking, the Roman government was all over that land. In fact, the Jews hated the Roman government, and rightly so. They were aggressive, they were demanding, they were cruel, and they hated the Roman government. And the Roman government wreaked havoc of their lives. But a publican, you know what a publican is? He is one who is working for the Roman government. He is no more than a tax collector. You can imagine how the Jews felt about the Roman government extending all these harsh taxes upon them. And they despised that. But for one of their own to almost, in a sense, betray them and to work now for the Roman government, he was despised. And you know, in fact, the Roman government told the publicans that, "Hey, we want you to collect taxes. And if you can get more from them, that is all for your keeping." So the publicans were dirty people. The publicans were liars. The publicans they misused their authority. And often they were criminals in many ways. And they were cruel. And they were just doing what they could to flourish their own coffers. They were doing anything and everything. So when this publican was there in the temple, you can imagine what the Pharisee looked upon him. By the way, in your neighborhood, you would want the Pharisee to live beside you, not the publican. You would want the Pharisee. He keeps the law. And the Pharisee is a religious man. But we would almost despise the publican because of his lifestyle. But the reason for this story was that there were many that were trusting in themselves that they were righteous. Number two, not only do we see the reason for this story, we see the redemption in this story. Now, by the way, in the eyes of men, the most respected person there that day was the Pharisee. I mean, look at this man and look at all of his great deeds and all the things that he has accomplished. And there's a publican. There he is. He's stolen. He has cheated people out of their money. He has done all kinds of wicked sins. And there is a publican. He is in the temple. And yet that day when that publican left, he was justified in the eyes of God and not the Pharisee. You see, the redemption in this story is that we find that God showed mercy. Now go back to our text and notice what the Bible says here about this publican. The verse number 13 says, "And the publican standing afar off." Now, by the way, I think that's significant. The publican was like, "I don't deserve to be near to the presence of a holy God. And I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I'm wretched. I know that I'm wicked. I'm standing afar off." And the Bible goes on to say that he would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven. You know what's something? There was humility upon this man. There was the acknowledgement of his sin. There was a recognizing that before God, he is not acceptable in the eyes of God. He knows what he is before God. And the Bible says that he would not so much as lift his eyes to heaven. But he smote upon his breast and he said this, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Now that word merciful is a beautiful word. In fact, this man, this publican, he was a Jew. And the very word that he used, merciful, is a verb form of the same word that is used for mercy seat. Now you say, "Well, Pastor, why did this publican use that?" In a sense, we could almost say that God be the mercy seat for me, a sinner. That's what the publican was saying. Now, folks, you must understand that for the Jewish people, they had a sacred place there called the Holy of Holies. There was a sacred place. Now, the Holy of Holies was where the high priest would enter into the Holy of Holies. Now, what was in the Holy of Holies? I want to use this Lord's table here as an illustration this morning. Inside the Holy of Holies, there was what was called the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was much like a box, somewhat like this. But it was a very beautiful place. In fact, this Ark of the Covenant was a box about a yard in length, and it was made of special wood and covered in gold. The top of the box had a lid that was also made of pure gold, and there on the box there were two angelic beings. We understand that they were faced one another, but in between those angelic beings, there was an empty space. And this was called the mercy seat. And you say, "Pastor, what was inside the Ark of the Covenant?" Well, the law was there, the tables of law. Now, by the way, that represented the law. And you know what the law teaches us? That we are sinners. Because no man can keep the law. There is no person here and no person except Jesus Christ who ever walked the face of the earth that is sinless before God. We are born into this world sinners. The law represents that no man can keep the law and that we are all guilty before God. God sees us as guilty sinners in His presence. But here is something significant. On that day of atonement, the high priest would take an innocent animal. Let's use an innocent lamb. And the high priest would take that lamb and the lamb would be killed. An innocent lamb that had done nothing wrong, but it was a symbol. It was a picture of what was to come. and that lamb would be killed. And the high priest would take the blood of that innocent lamb and would place it on the mercy seat. And you know what it symboled? That the blood covered the guilt and the shame. The blood, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. You see, this was all a picture that one day Jesus Christ, whom the Bible says is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ, who was sinless. Jesus Christ, who was born of a Virgin Mary, would come to this earth and for the very purpose to bleed and die on the cross for the sins of all mankind. Just a few weeks ago, we celebrated Easter, or what I like to call Resurrection Sunday. And the very emphasis, we celebrate that Jesus just didn't die and just didn't, he was buried in a borrowed tomb. But on the third day, he rose from the grave. But folks, can I tell you something? This was all a picture of what was to come. This was foretelling that one day Jesus, the Lamb of God, would die on the cross. And as Jesus died on the cross, He would shed His blood for you and me. Can I tell you something? It was such a special day, that day of Christ dying on the cross. Do you understand that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, God the Father took the sin debt of the world, past, present, and future. He took your sin debt. He took my sin debt. He took all the sin. I am guilty before God, and so is every man. He is guilty before God. And God took the sin debt of the world, and He placed it upon Jesus. The Bible says that on that crucifixion day, at noon, high noon, the billows of God's wrath rolled upon Jesus. And you know what it became? It became dark outside during the middle of the day. Total darkness. Why? Because God the Father turned His back upon His Son. Because Jesus became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. God judged His Son on the cross for me and for you. God punished His Son on the cross. He condemned His Son on the cross. He abandoned His Son on the cross. And Jesus cried out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Can I tell you something this morning? God forsook His Son so that He would never have to forsake you. God abandoned His Son so that He would never have to abandon you. God was satisfied that day. The Bible says that He accepted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ as He died upon the cross to pay for the sin debt of the whole world. Well, may I tell you, that day when that publican said, God, be merciful to me. You know what he was saying? God, be the mercy seat for me. Lord, I cannot cover my sin. I cannot pay for my sin. I cannot wash away my sin. But I look to God. And folks, I want you to know something. God has made a way for every man, woman, boy, and girl to go to heaven one day. And it is only through the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ on the cross. It is only through His shed blood and His burial in the borrowed tomb and that He rose again the third day. Folks, I want you to know something. God has mercy on us today, and He can offer you His mercy only because of His Son, Jesus Christ. That day when that publican said, God, be the mercy seat to me, a sinner. We find redemption in this story. Now, the third and last thing that I want you to see here, not only the reason for this story, the redemption in this story, but the result of this story. Go back, if you would please, to Luke chapter number 18. I can imagine as Jesus is sharing this parable on that day, that maybe the people were listening, were thinking to themselves, wow, what a story. But it had a different ending than what I'm sure they thought. And people respected the Pharisees. People, I mean, they thought, boy, these are the good people. I mean, these are, well, look what they do. They fast twice in the week. They pay tithe of all that they possess. They do a lot of religious deeds. They do a lot of good activities. But God said, I want you to not look on their works. I want you to look on their response to God's mercy. And look at this publican. Notice the result in this story. The Bible says in verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Folks, the publican went in a sinner and came out justified before God. He went in a sinner and he came out just as if he was never a sinner. The Pharisee went in a sinner and he came out a sinner. I want you to know something today, that we can do good things. I know a lot of good moral people. In fact, can I tell you this, that there's a lady that was in our church and has been in our church for many years. And I don't think that she would mind me telling this story. But this lady was a lady that, I mean, she did a lot of good things. This lady, I mean, she wanted to help people. She came to church. She gave of her tithe. I mean, I'm going to be honest, if you saw her in church, you'd be like, wow, what a great Christian lady this was. And boy, we're so thankful for her. Kind, gracious, took care of her husband and all of that. But there was something about this lady that I could tell that there was an arrogance about her life. That there was pride. There was a self-righteousness about her that she had. I had to go to her home often because her husband was a godly Christian man. Her husband got sick, and at the very end of his life, I remember him coming, or me coming and talking to him, and him saying, preacher, he loved this verse. He said, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And he was laying there on a bed of pain and sorrow and suffering, and yet he knew the Lord. And his wife, in many ways, became angry during that time. I tried to help her and tried to deal with her. After his death, can I tell you what, this woman, she hit rock bottom in her life. This woman came to the end of herself. This woman realized that she was a sinner before God. She'd done a lot of good deeds. This woman had done all kinds of great things in our community and even in our church. And I mean, you talk about deeds. She was a great Pharisee. But I remember the time that I came to see her. And you know what I saw now? A changed lady. I saw a lady who was humble. I saw a lady who acknowledged her sin. I'll never forget the day that I came into her home and I began to talk with her. Her husband had been passed away now for maybe a couple of months. And now she's left by herself. She's left with her sin. She's left with what she has been. And she said, Pastor, I want you to know something. I've been reading the Bible. I've been praying. And Pastor, God has shown me what I really am. God has shown me that I'm a sinner. And that I'm wicked and vile in the eyes of God. By the way, she's a Pharisee. She's good. She's moral. She's kind. She's all of those things. But yet she sees her sin in the light of God's righteousness. And she said, Pastor, I don't know if God can save me. And I told her, I said, Miss Lori, I want you to know something, that the mercy of God can forgive you and cleanse you from any sin that you've ever committed or ever will commit. God's mercy is available for you today. And I'm going to tell you something. That lady was gloriously saved. She was known in our church as a great lady. But I'm going to tell you something. That lady's life has been transformed because she came to the place where she said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, you're the mercy seat. You're the only way to heaven. You're the only way for me to have my sins forgiven and for me to be justified in your eyes. It is easy for you and me to justify ourselves. By the way, is it not human nature for us to always find somebody that does things maybe a little worse than us, and we are justified in our own eyes? This morning, God's mercy is extended to you. By the way, God's mercy allowed you to come to this building today. Someone may have invited you. You may have come because you were just wanted to come to church today. But God had His mercy on you. And God's mercy is extended to you. We don't deserve His mercy, but His mercy is available. Number one, can I tell you this? If we are going to accept the mercy of God, some things we must understand. Number one, we must realize. You say, realize what, Pastor? We must realize that God truly does love you. You know, there is a God in heaven this morning who loves you. He loves you. You know what? We often equate the love of God with human love, but it's beyond any type of human love. Because there has never been a time in your life wherein God did not love you. I remember when my wife was bearing one of our children and she was soon to give birth. She looked at me one day and said this, and every mother in here knows what this means. She said, "I already love her." She was not even in her arms yet, but she said, "I already love her." And you know something, but there was a time in my wife's life when she did not love because she didn't even know that our daughter would be born. But there was never a time in the heart of a God today who has never loved you. Now think about that just for a moment. This God loves us in spite of our sin, in spite of our wickedness. And let God's love, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Today, this God loves you. Oh, the devil blinds you to the goodness of God and to the love of God. He lies to you about God's love for you. But realize today that God loves you. Realize that you cannot save yourself. Do you know something today? We often think, well, I've not done too many bad things. I'm justified in my own eyes. But you cannot save it yourself. Jesus gave this very story because of those who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous. My papaw, that's what I called my grandfather in Tennessee. Yeah, I was his only grandson. My papaw, you know, he was not a papaw ever grandson wanted. He gave me my first rifle. My mom and dad didn't even know about it, you know. My mom was real happy about that. I can remember that. My papa gave me a motorcycle. Didn't even ask my parents. Just here. He called me Hank because he loved Hank Aaron baseball. And he called me Hank and my name's Aaron. So he said, "Hank, you want a motorcycle?" "Sure, papa. I'll take one, you know." But I remember getting home and I had a motorcycle. And my mom was like, "What?" "Yeah, papa gave it to me." You know, that was great. Man, he was a great papa, you know. And gave me knives all the time. All the dangerous things that boys shouldn't probably get into. That was my papaw, you know. I mean, he was awesome, you know. And we'd go out hunting. You'd say, "What'd you hunt?" "Anything that moved in the woods, all right? Anything." I love my papaw. He's with the Lord, but I want you to know something. For 80 years, my grandfather was lost and without Jesus Christ. I loved him so much. I remember saying to my papaw, "Papaw, I want you to ask Jesus to be your Savior." He'd say, "Hank, don't worry about me. Hank, I don't do what other people do. Hank, don't worry about me." He would say that to me all the time, but I loved my papa. I wanted to know Jesus. But you know what? My papa would not realize that he could not save himself. And folks, today, if you're here and you think, I've been a moral person, I've done good things, if you trust in yourself, you will not be justified in the eyes of a holy God. We can do nothing to earn our way to heaven. In fact, the Bible says that all of our good works are as filthy rags in His sight. The best that you and I can do is nothing but wickedness in the eyes of God. And by the way, if we could save ourselves, then why did God give His only begotten Son to die on the cross? And why did God allow men to crucify His Son? Because there is only one way to heaven. We cannot save ourselves. Realize God loves you. Realize you cannot save yourself. And folks, today realize that death is real and inescapable. You know, I don't like to talk about death and we don't like to think about it, but it is real. Folks, as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Can I tell you something today? That you will either meet God in judgment or you will meet God in mercy. God wants to offer you mercy. He has paid everything for you. He has given His Son, and Jesus Christ went to the cross and He accomplished everything. Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished," meaning the payment of sin is paid in full. Nothing to be added to it. Nothing to be taken away from it. Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection was everything sufficient to pay for your sin. Realize. Secondly, you must repent. Now, it's a word that maybe we think, what does it mean to repent? Can I tell you what it means to simply repent? In fact, in Luke chapter 13, it says, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." But the idea of repentance is what the publican did. Repent is to agree with God about your sin. To repent is to say, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Do you know what that publican did that day? He humbled himself. I can see him way back across. He doesn't want to get near. He is ashamed of himself. He is repenting of his sin. He is acknowledging his wickedness before God. He will not so much as lift his eyes to heaven. He is bowed down in shame and guilt. And he says, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Did you recognize what the Pharisee, five times he used the word "I." "I fast twice in the week. I am not like this other man. Extortioners and adulterers. I'm not like those other people." They trust in themselves. And maybe this morning you can say, "You know, Pastor, I'm not like these other people. I'm not like all the murderers and the wicked people out there today." But folks, because you were born into this world, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Listen, we are guilty in the eyes of God. So we must realize, but we must repent. We agree with God about our sin. And repentance is turning to the Lord in faith. Can I tell you this? Believing in Jesus Christ is not just saying, "I believe that there is Jesus Christ and that I believe that He did die on the cross," but it is taking your confidence out of yourself and placing it in Jesus Christ. That's what belief is. That's what the publican did. He said, "God, be the mercy seat to me. I have nothing else to offer. There's nothing I can do to earn justification in your eyes. There is nothing I can do. God, you're the mercy seat for me." You know what he was saying? He was recognizing that God's way of salvation is the only way. That, "Lord, you're the only one that can save me." I'm going to tell you something. When I was 17 years of age, I grew up in a Christian home. My parents took me to church. I was a good kid, if you want to call it that. I took my Bible to church. If you want to look at it, I was a decent person, but I was lost in my sin. I was trusting in my parents. I was trusting in our Pharisee attitude that I was doing lots of good deeds. But I remember that Sunday morning that I was sitting there and God began to deal with me, and I knew I was a sinner. I knew I sinned against God, and I knew that it was not my good deeds to get me to heaven. And I remember that morning finding a way to get to the altar, and I knelt down, and I can still remember saying, "God, forgive me of my sin. God, be merciful to me, a sinner." We realize, we repent, and number three, the last thing, we receive. Mercy has to be received. The Bible simply says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Folks, can I tell you this today? God has a free gift for you, but a gift can be rejected. I love at Christmas time around our house that I get to pass out the gifts. I love that. And the kids, they don't want to do it. They want to just tear into them like everything, you know. But we take time and here's your gift. And we all watch them open that gift. And I love giving my wife gifts. My kids make fun of me because Dad, another gift for Mom. Another gift for Mom. How many did you get this year, Dad? You know? But you know what? I love her. She's the best friend I have in this world. And she knows me like nobody else knows me. And she's a faithful, virtuous woman. But I want to tell you something. If on Christmas Day or any time, if I gave a gift to my wife and she said, no, it's okay. I don't want it. Boy, it'd break my heart. Because I love her. I bought that because I love her. Well, folks, today, if you reject the gift of God, He paid for it by giving His Son Jesus to die on the cross for you. He shed His blood, and His blood covers all of our sin. Nothing else will do. But if you say, no, God, not now, you reject the greatest gift of all. Folks, today, God is willing to give you His mercy. God is willing to save you from your sin debt. But you need to become like the publican. In your heart, you can say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You realize that God loves you. You realize that you cannot save yourself. You repent. You acknowledge to God that you're a sinner. But you receive the gift of salvation. Years ago, I worked on a bus route when I was right after I got saved. And I remember that we were trying to find new families to come. And I remember one Saturday morning, I visited a family. It was a man, and I think he had four children. And I invited them to church, and I said, sir, I want you to come. And honestly, in my heart, I didn't think that they would come. I just didn't. Well, that Sunday morning, when I came to their house and drove up there with the bus, there was that man all dressed up and all of his kids ready to go. And I'm thinking, wow, this is great. Well, it came time for the church service, like you're in a church service this morning. And that man was sitting with me. The children were in the Sunday school classes. I didn't know what God was doing in that man's heart. I didn't know anything really about him other than that I had called him and I had invited him to come to the house of the Lord. I remember that morning as we were sitting there in church and I was just enjoying the preaching and the pastor was preaching on salvation, that Jesus is the only way to heaven. The invitation was given. I was getting ready to ask him, sir, do you know Jesus as your Savior? But that man grabbed me by the arm and pulled me. I didn't know what was happening. You know, is he going to take me outside and beat me up or what? You know, he grabbed me by the arm and he pulled me to the altar, tears streaming down his face. And I'll never forget, I'm thinking, okay, I got to do this right now. Let me show you. That man was ready to be saved. And I'll never forget the words from his mouth. You know what he said that day? God, have mercy on me. God, I'm a sinner. God, I've sinned against you. Save me right now. Lord, give me a home in heaven. And you know what? I found out that man's life that week had hit rock bottom. That man had come to the end of himself, and that man needed Jesus as his personal Savior. That man was the publican that day. Today, can you in your heart say, oh God, I'm lost without Jesus Christ. I'm a sinner. I want you to know something. What God did for the publican, He will do for you today. That day when that publican, despised of men, he left that temple justified in the eyes of God. You know what? God looked at that man just as if he was never a sinner. Justified because of Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. And today, if you will acknowledge to God that you're a sinner and that Jesus is the only way to heaven, I want you to know something. God will have mercy on you no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been. And God will gloriously save you today. Be merciful to me.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you. Oh,